start off with song.
It is a cappella, no music, so don't frequency radio up here. It's in your songbook, but I'm not going to tell you where it is, because we'll just listen to it. That's not on, is it? The microphone's not on, is it? It is.
I'm a little ADD, I guess you say. My mind kind of goes here and there and everywhere. So when I'm in my car or sitting in a meeting, not paying much attention to what's going on, I like to think about stuff in my everyday life that I can take and I can apply a spiritual lesson to it. So this is one of the CDs I have in my car. I like to play when I'm riding down the road. It's Florida College Course, by the way. And one of the things they talk about in there, or that song primarily, is service. Service to the King, service to God, service to Jesus. And it got me to thinking. I have my own business. I'm a CPA by trade. So what we do is we offer a service. We offer services to not-for-profit businesses. So I thought, okay, how could I apply this to my everyday life? And I got thinking, you know, what if we look at the church as being a business? Would that be applicable? So one of the things I looked up was, well, what is a business? A business is an organization that's involved in the trade of goods, services, or both. So if we're offering a service here, then let's just go with me on this. Let's assume that you are a business, that the Black Creek Church of Christ is a business. Well, coming from a business background, I'd like to apply some principles of businesses to run a good business. I overlooked one of my verses I'm supposed to read here to give my argument about if we're a business. I didn't bring one with me, a King James version, but in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, this is when Jesus had stayed behind and his parents had gone on and they'd missed him after some time and gone to look for him and he was in the temple. What he had said, or King James version, was that, you know, didn't they know that he was supposed to be about his father's business? So I said, well, in Jesus' mind at that point, he called it a business. All right, so let's assume we are a business here. Any business that is going to make it You have to have a purpose. You have to have something you're working towards. And that's your mission. That's what you survive for. I know a couple of you what companies you work for, but if you work for a company, they're going to have a mission, and a lot of companies will in fact have their mission statement listed somewhere when you walk into their lobby area. It's maybe on the wall, in a picture frame, something like that. And my business has a mission statement. It's really short. It's to provide quality accounting services to nonprofits at a fair and affordable price. So, very simple, but within those two sentences, that tells me and anybody who works with me what we've got to do. Well, so if we're going to look at Black Creek and assume that Black Creek is a business, well, what's your mission? What are you doing? If you will, go to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he said in verse 19, therefore, and I'm reading from the New International Version, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So, two things right there. Jesus said, go and make disciples and baptize people. So that might be the mission of Black Creek or the Church of Christ as a whole, is to baptize or make disciples and baptize. And also, if you will, go to Acts chapter 12. And verses 24 to 25. I'm sorry, I'm nervous. Y'all just going to have to bear with me a little bit. Verse 24 says, but the word of God continued to spread and flourish. Verse 25, when Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. So Barnabas and Saul, it says, verse 25, they had a mission. Well, what was the mission? The mission was in verse 24. They were spreading the gospel, or spreading the word of God. So, all right, that's our mission. Our mission is to get the word out there and to make or baptize people. I'm going to say some phrases, and I want to see if you can, if you are comfortable speaking out. Tell me if you know what I'm talking about. I'm loving it. McDonald's. Great little seafood place. Again, Roger. Captain D's. Captain D's. All right, this one I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to show you something. Nike. Okay. And then the last one. This is my favorite. I like this. Like a good neighbor. State Farm is there. I didn't have to tell you who any of those were. All of you knew who I was talking about just by using those phrases. To me, that's an example of a business who has a good marketing department. They get their word out there. They don't, you're conditioned. So when you hear those phrases, see those logos, they want to draw you in. Well, if we're going to be a business here, we really have to market what we're trying to sell. If we've got a service, we've got to get it out and get the word out there about our service too. There's lots of ways we can market what the church here is trying to do. You can go door to door. You can knock on doors, talk to people. You can hand out flyers. The paper flyers, if you so choose. That's not my preferred method, but if that's what you choose to do. This one I really like, and we've been talking about it a lot more at McKay, where we attend, using Facebook. Facebook is a great way to get the message out there. Texting. In fact, I teach the teenage class at church, and I don't know, there seems to be several over in here. And if I was a betting man, I would bet most of those have a cell phone within about 5 feet of their bodies. A lot of people, you know, put the cell phones up, turn cell phones off. Well, in class, I do want them to pay attention, but I don't have them turn their cell phones off. I'm not going to stop them. But what I do ask them is, well, if you're going to text or do something, let's use it in a way is, Sister so-and-so about sick today. Send her a text. Let her know you're thinking about her. Sometimes I'll be in my car, at work, whatever, and a text will come through from somebody. We attend church, and they'll say, you know, you were on my mind today. I'm just letting you know I'm thinking about you. Well, that has a pretty big impact on me. That means a lot. We'll get a card in the mail that says, we appreciate what you're doing. That carries a tremendous amount of weight with me, so it doesn't have to be anything complicated for you to market or to get the word out there. What we did, too, also the teenage class, we recently had the county fair in Oneonta about 2 weeks ago. So when we were talking about ideas of how we want to get the message out there, which is one of our pushes is at McKay, is trying to get it out there, who we are and what we do, is they wanted to set up a booth at the fair. So I said, okay. So we did, had a great time. I would not allow anybody except myself over 21 to work in the booth because I wanted it to be theirs. I wanted it to be for them. I think they had a great time. I had a great time. We had a lot of people who stopped by. We had a little game. You had to answer a Bible question. You got a prize if you got it right. You got a prize if you got it wrong. We just wanted you to stop by. And we had a family show up. Church the next week. Had been by the booth, heard about us, and wanted to visit. So there's lots of ways to market yourself. One of the best ways that I think is found in Matthew chapter 5. And in verse 16, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I think one of the best ways to market being a Christian in Christianity is just what it says. Let your light shine. You be the Christian you know you're supposed to be, and you let other people see that in you. Okay, so we have our mission out there, and we're getting the word out there. We're marketing. Who are we supposed to market to? Have you ever thought about that? Are you the market? Who are our customers? And the customer is just the recipient of a good service or product. So let me ask you this. Let's suppose that you're going to start a business. You're going to sell hearing aids. And so you're sitting down with your sales team, and y'all are trying to brainstorm, and somebody comes up with the idea that, you know, I think a great way to sell hearing aids is that we need to go to all the colleges in the state, and we need to talk to all the freshmen and sophomores, and that we'll jump a lot, you know, get a lot of business selling hearing aids that way. Probably not. Because, I mean, some are. There's always the exception to the rule. But for the most part, it's the older people who need hearing aids, not people in starting out in college. So you've got to know who you're trying to sell the message to be successful. Let's go to Luke chapter 19. In verse 10, chapter 19, verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man, for Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came to look for the lost. Also, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 12, says, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you, he is happier than about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. You know, I look at Van, Roger, Jeff, Tim, Greg, Linda. I just said Nan's name, didn't I? Tracy. Are you my customers? Are you the one that I'm trying to reach? I don't think so. Because it says he came to seek and save what was lost. And then when he talked about the lost sheep, he was looking for the lost. He wasn't looking for the found. So when I'm looking for my customer, I'm not sure that you're really the ones that, don't take this the wrong way, that I need to be concerned about. I'm looking for the ones who are not in the fold. Okay, I'm going to play one more song, and then I'll have one more cover, and then I'll be done. But if you will, just bear with me and listen to this song. I looked this morning, it is not in the newer song books. It's an old song. Talked about who our customers are, so what is your role? What are you supposed to be? My opinion, no business is any better than its employees. If that makes sense. A business is only as good as its employees. An employee is somebody who contributes labor to doing what a business does toward offering that service. So my argument or my position would be that we, who are not lost, we're the employees. You're the employees of Black Creek Church of Christ where you attend. So as an employee, what are you supposed to be doing? Go to Romans chapter 10. And I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. It says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That's your job as an employee, is you're to bring the good news, you're to spread the word to the lost. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and you got really bad service? Maybe the waitress, maybe the food was awful. Something happened just to ruin your experience there. Unless it's a really well-known restaurant, like, you know, I'm not going to give up McDonald's for one bad trip. But, you know, that might change my decision the next time I go out to eat about where I want to eat. Same thing here. Is are we offering a good service to the lost? I'll talk a little bit about my one full-time employee that I have in my business. His name is Kyle, and Kyle is a stellar employee. I will say that. He is just a stellar young guy. But one of the things I expect from Kyle is, since he's gone to college and he studied accounting in college and he has his degree, we do not sit down every Monday morning and have to talk about what we're going to be doing. You know, what is accounting? Kyle, this is accounting. This is what you do as an accountant. We work for not-for-profits. These are not-for-profits. This is what makes a not-for-profit. If I had to do that, my business would be dead in the water. You kind of think about it here. Do you do the same thing here? Go to, so that I don't ramble around too much, go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 11 through 13. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Essentially, what you're supposed to do as an employee or as a Christian, you're supposed to learn enough, you're supposed to train yourself enough to where you can become mature. You can be unified and you can become knowledgeable about the message that you're supposed to be sending out or preaching. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 11 through 14. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with a teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So the reason I wanted to read that verse is just to, you know, ask yourself, are you becoming that mature Christian, or are you having to be taught the same things over and over again? Not that there's anything wrong with studying the same lessons, but are you learning anything from it? All right, so that's my spiel on being a business here. Have a mission, know what your mission is. Market your service, get the word out there, know who you're trying to reach, who your customers are, and you be the type of employee or the worker for God that you're supposed to be. Had a verse here, forgot to read it. Luke 12:35. Let me read that since I've got it written down. I'm supposed to read them all that I've written down. Luke 12:35. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Well, that's all I want to say for this evening. I know it's short. Hopefully you got some good from it. I enjoyed speaking to you. We don't ever want to leave here without spreading the word. I look around. I know a lot of you have been baptized. Some may not have been. So we don't ever want to go without giving you the opportunity to be baptized or... Also, if you've obeyed the gospel but you've gotten off track in your life and you want to make it right, we give you the opportunity to do one or both as we stand and sing the invitation song.